It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are off and running the first full week of November 2018, the day before Election Day. Just think of it. By this time tomorrow night, we won't know a damn thing. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live. That is where you, of course, go if you'd like to, one, have easy access to the stream, two, become part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. Yeah, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and upon arrival, you will be met by early arriver Anatole and pinch hit midweek utility chat room, and occasionally more on Monday, moderator Steve from Georgia Stan, as well as longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has once again folded space to become Man Cave. Yes. And me, I'm in there. So come on by. We have a fun little conversation every evening. And, I guess we should get More in Monday started, shouldn't we? Because we have, not to put it too delicately, More ends. Nothing like an election to bring out the More ends. No, nothing quite like it. Thank you very kindly. that taxes my français, Brother Deacon Asa. Les Morins sont en marche sur les deux flux internet. I will take your word for it. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Asa. So, I did the high buff. Okay, so the first thing we do with every program is send out thanks to our subscribers. Thanks, we do all our weekend thanking on Mondays. So thanks go out to John. Thank you, John, very kindly. Thanks as well to Janice. Thank you, Janice. Thank you indeed to Jean and Ann across the pond. Thank you. Thanks very much to Renee in D.C. And thank you very kindly to Stephen out California way, I do believe. Thank you, Stephen. And let's see. Thanks as well. Go out to Kelly, not too far away from here. And thank you to Catherine. Thanks also to Paul. And thanks to Thomas. Thank you, Thomas, very kindly. Thank you, let's see. And then today, for the fifth day of the month, thanks go out to Kevin in Colorado Springs. And to Roberto. Thank you, Roberto. Thank you as well to James in Illinois. And thank you to Edward and Lee in Dallas. Thank you very kindly indeed. So that's our list of subscribers for the 5th, the 4th, and the 3rd. Thank you all very kindly. That's how we keep the program on the air. And because we managed to finish out last week on schedule, that means we've only got $200 to raise this evening. And that's a good thing, not having hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars of ground to make up, just plain old boring, ordinary daily $200, you know, 10 at 20, 20 at 10, 1 at 2, 2 at 1, 4 at 58 at 25, 16 at 12 and a half, 32 at 6 and a quarter, 64 at $3.13, because we round that half penny up and put it into the maintenance fund for the Gulfstream 5. Yep. Oil change on a Gulfstream 5 ain't cheap. But I've been kind of, and I suspect it's this way for y'all too. Just kind of eaten up with anticipation, waiting for tomorrow. But like I said, all kidding aside, by this time tomorrow night, we really won't know anything. So there's going to be a hell of a lot of waiting. And just by way of advice, do not be surprised if there is just tons and tons and tons of bad faith right wing litigation that muddies up the water to try to keep a if the Democrats get control of either house or both, miracle. Yeah, expect a mess. Expect the Republicans to do what Republicans do best, and that is to cheat. Okay. Let's see. Oh, there's Silent R. Lamar in the chat room. Hi, Silent R. It is Moran Monday. And we do have Morans with which to contend. I'm glad that, well, how do you put it? That's wrong. Let's just say it'll be nice when we get, not to hurry things too much, but it'll be nice when we get to Wednesday. Yeah. And hey, remember, on Wednesday, the 7th of November, we start talking about the 2020 presidential election. Ah, Jesus. I mean, kind of makes you wish you could, a fella could just spend a program or two talking about sex robots or something, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. But that's fact. We'll be knee-deep in 2020 politics by this time Wednesday. So, anyway, I'll be going out to the polls tomorrow. Agnes and Margie and I will go and vote. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of turnout happens in this little bitty burg where I live. I mean, there's never, I think, wait, yeah, 2016, I had to wait in a line. Because people were all so eager to go and vote out that Kenyan Muslim usurper in our White House, and Mike Mark Greidingian. But I ran across something over on Horst's Facebook feed, and it was a tweet from a person, you know, obviously on Twitter. Who goes by the handle of Ida Bay Wells. See what she did there? Yeah. But this is about as profound as it gets. And at least for me, it's sort of exposed a little bit of my own privilege and caused me to do some thinking. Do you think Fannie Lou Hamer and Medgar Evers had good candidates to vote for? None of the candidates were fighting for them. But they understood if they couldn't and didn't vote, none of the candidates ever would. This is as true now as it was then. Vote. It is your duty. And within that context, some of my own white privilege just got a big old light shone on it. Because I have been guilty here of saying, I wish I had some candidates to be excited about to vote for. Because if you are if you are progressive in this state, West Virginia, you're hard pressed to find someone that really lines up with your values, usually on the ballot. Now, you may find them in the primary, but they won't make it. They seldom make it to November. And so, for instance, in my House of Delegates race, I've got a couple of fossils running. And then there's Joe Manchin. And I'm guilty. I'm guilty of saying, you know, I wish, you know, what's the phrase from the tweet? I wish I had candidates that were fighting for, you know, my kind of values. But that really pales in comparison with someone like, Fannie Lou Hamer, Medgar Evers. And if you take a moment and sort of look deeply into that, the circumstances around the struggle for voting rights during the civil rights movement. Yeah, you could say, well, why bother? No candidates were worth voting for anyway. Racist A or racist B. In places like Mississippi, and Georgia, and Alabama, Tennessee, South Carolina, etc. But it's about, as it turned out, the future. Those struggles don't take place. You don't have Andrew Gillum on the ballot in Florida, and you don't have Stacey Abrams on the ballot in Georgia. And it really is that plain. So if there's anyone within the sound of my voice who is even pondering not voting, I think most of the members of the the Sparkle Fart Powered Unicorn Cavalry Purity Brigade, I think they've moved on for the most part. And that would be where I would expect to see some of that, you know, the business about, not voting is some sort of act of protest, bullshit, whatever. But if there's anybody in the sound of my voice considering just saying to hell with it, Don't. Go forth and vote. No matter where you are. Because depending on how you vote, it may not be about the candidates you've got on your ballot. It's about the candidates that maybe someday will be on the ballot. And that's certainly the case here in West Virginia. Oh, yeah. So, like I said, it's Moran Monday, and we have work to do. Yes.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. You will not believe your ears. Right here. Just a few meager steps off the carnival midway right here behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, we've got Morans for you. It's Moran Monday on the Horn. We've got them all for you right here behind the thin cybernetic veil of canvas, friends and neighbors. We've got your birchers, deathers, birthers, ninthers, tenthers, deathers, booger eaters, maggots, libertarians, Republicans, all. And they're waiting for your shocked, your amused, your bemused appreciation of their moranity. You can't tell the Morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the Morans you just can't tell them much. But for only 16 cents or around that per hour of programming, for an average $10 a month subscriber, it's all here. All here and waiting for you each and every Moran Monday and Tuesdays and prayer meeting Wednesdays and thorn in the side Thursdays and Fridays on the front porch. Each and every one. For the, well, goodness me, something like a 20th of the cost of some corporate chain joint coffee. So come on by. Never mind throwing those ping pong balls at goldfish bowls in the hopeless attempt to win a little baby iguana. No, no, no. Come on over here, climb the steps, pass right through, but remember, keep your hands on wallets, jewelry, bracelets, purses, children, pets, even that iguana you actually did manage to win throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls, and as well, keep a hand on European-style messenger bags, because the Morans can get grabby. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, so, we have them in rich abundance here. Good God, the elections do bring to that. Despite the cheery tones and notes from the Calliope calling us back to our halcyon days of sane political discourse in this country. No, we got Morans. Oh, mercy sakes, we got Morans. How about Ed Rendell? Oh, dear God. Now this is interesting because, well, Ed Rendell is actually ostensibly a Democrat. And he's we don't feature that many Democrats on Moran Monday that often. Hard not to with this though. Writing an opinion column over at The Hill, they headlined it "Democrats Beware, We Are Leaning Left Too Far." Huh? Leaning left too far. Well. So what would that mean, leaning left too far? Confiscation of private property? Up against the wall, you redneck mothers? Shutting down the oil and gas and living on you know, fried patchouli and incense salad? What? No. Mm-mm. According to former Pennsylvania governor and now political commentating talking head Ed Rendell, the Democrats have moved too far left because people are talking about maybe making it so everybody who gets sick can go to the fucking doctor. That's the too far left of Ed Rendell. Mm-hmm. The two clearest examples of trying to appeal to our base by being as progressive as possible were the rush to embrace a single-payer health care system after Senator Bernie Sanders publicly endorsed it, and the stampede to call for the abolition of immigration and customs enforcement.
What?
He says, if you've read one of my columns in The Hill, you know that I think single-payer could work under certain circumstances, but I'm troubled, because he's a concern troll, I'm troubled by its initial expense and taxes we would have to raise to make it work early on. In the few places it's been tried, such as Vermont, it was repealed because it was simply unworkable and unfundable. Now, never mind the fact that Vermont is a teeny tiny little state that does not have the ability to set up a system that could support single payer. But as a nation, we do. We can. And then he goes on and says, single payer is not a reasonable solution to the challenge of making health care accessible and affordable. It will never get the 60 votes necessary in the Senate, even if Democrats were to win back the chamber on November 6th. Our candidates should work for solutions that are politically achievable and not appeal to voters with a plan they know cannot become reality. That's like saying Mexico would pay for the wall. No, Ed, it's not at all like saying Mexico would pay for the wall. You know why not? Because it presupposes the wall, which is just fucking stupid. Medicare for all isn't stupid. And, you know, I guess I've kind of got a little dog in this hunt because, well, damn it. I'd like to have health care. I know. It's crazy, huh? That's like saying Mexico would pay for the wall. And then because he hasn't been quite snide enough, he said, I would respect our wannabes more if they would make realistic proposals for reform. So just what sort of realistic proposals would get the... You know, 60. Well, let's be optimistic and say we got a 50-50 split in the Senate. What would get you 10 Republican votes? That's not Medicare for all. Solid gold Cadillacs for health insurance lobbyists. Could that, you think that might scrounge up 10 Republican votes? Eh? Jesus, I hate this kind of. I'm all for discussions about how to fix our problems. But this, and this isn't real centrism. This is bullshit centrism. This is go over and lick the boots of Republicans politics. And he's also pissed off what he says is the pledge for the pledge of the abolition of ICE. And then gives away his own argument by saying, no, it's clear that ICE is a mess, needs reforming and a serious reordering of its priorities. So, no. People like Ed Rendell tend to pretend that ICE is something that has been with us for 100 years. It was the brainchild and the creation of the loyal Bushies who surrounded Dim Leader back during the Reign of Error. There were other people, other agencies that had the jobs that ICE was doing. Among other things, ICE is charged with and performs adequately keeping out young people who are being forced into our country to become sex slaves, drug dealers, etc. Sex slaves, drug dealers, etc. The proper response for someone wanting to be U.S. president should be similar to the answer regarding the ACA. Mend it, don't end it. Oh, God. And he's also unhappy about the progressive response to Brett Kavanaugh. No citation to it or anything, but he claims that after Kavanaugh was confirmed, that too many of our most vociferous progressive candidates and progressive media outlets promise that Democrats will begin impeachment proceedings against Justice Kavanaugh if we take back the House. Bullshit! I follow a whole bunch of progressive media outlets and no small number of allegedly progressive politicians. But I haven't, and they tend to be reasonably intelligent people. And I haven't seen anybody make the suggestion that there are 67 Senate votes out there, you know, the 67 that would be needed if an impeachment, bill of impeachment, were to be presented against Brett Kavanaugh. Maybe they all live inside Ed Rendell's head. But using these three things, letting people go to the doctor when they're sick, getting rid of an agency that is at best sadistic and at worst outright fucking evil, and a made-up impeachment, well, these are... what lead Ed Rendell to say, the moral of the story is, if we continue to tack to the far left in the 2020 election cycle, we surely will see another 4 years of President Trump, paren, please no, close paren. But if we recalibrate our thinking and come up with a solid left-of-center candidate, e.g. Joe Biden, Michael Bloomberg, Senator Klobuchar, or Representative John Delaney of Maryland, we just might win and take the House and Senate as well. Let's see. Joe Biden, white guy, old white guy. Michael Bloomberg, old white guy. Amy Klobuchar, not so old, white, female. John Delaney of Maryland, I don't know. Apparently, yep, John Delaney, white guy. Well, Ed Rendell apparently is running a sunset presidential campaign. Jesus. But you've been warned, damn it. Don't be thinking that we can be sending people to the doctor when they're sick if they don't, you know, or providing health insurance for people who don't have it. Don't be saying that. And by the way, there's that line up there about single payer could work, but ooh, how much it's going to cost. We're already spending it, Ed. We would deliver more results for more people at ultimately less money. But, yeah. Not for Ed. No. And not just no, but... hell no. Got it? Sure. But there's nothing like nothing like an election to bring out the real assholes. So there's a restaurant in New York City called Carmine's. because some maggots are claiming that they were turned away from Carmine's restaurant in New York City because there was a 2-hour wait. Fire up the wambulance.
At Carmen's in New York City, wearing my Make America Great Again shirt and hat. We originally walked inside and asked for a table for two, and he said that the wait was 2 hours because of our hats. Then when we walked in, as you can see from the video, he completely avoided us, but he had a table prior to for just a random incomer. So
we got turned down as two Jewish women.
Two Jewish women just got turned down
of a restaurant in New York.
So thank you for that.
Yeah, only no. Carmine's then issued a statement. Carmine's, whose owners are Jewish, did not turn away anyone based on politics, religion. There was a 2-hour wait Saturday, the night before the New York City Marathon, when we served pasta to people from all walks of life. Those without a reservation were asked to wait due to space available, not because of their stupid fucking MAGA hats. But, well, you know how it is with these tender and delicate snowflakes. Speaking of snowflakes, well, sometimes they're not so tender and not so delicate. Oh, let me check email real quick. Terrace says, impeach Kavanaugh. Damn right. He lied under oath. Clean the motherfucking house. Great, but you got to have them 66 votes. And remember, there are not going to be 66 votes in the Senate, even if we manage to take control of the Senate. Republicans don't care if he lied. They don't care if every other utterance of his was pure perjury. Republicans care about the Republican Party. Plain and simple. I'd be game for impeaching him over, you know, hell, you could impeach him without even getting to the Dr. Ford issues. He'd be subject to impeachment over the receipt of stolen property, which is, you know, felony. Yeah. But even if you impeach him, you still got to try him in the Senate, and you're going to have 67 votes. Or 66.6, which is, you know, 67 votes. So, I'm hard-pressed to figure out how you do that. Meanwhile, Dave from Talibandiana said, I believe fembots are originally British in origin, because I said it'd be nice to do a program on sex robots. Yeah. I believe fembots are originally British in origin. Maybe they'll vote in the next parliamentary elections. That'd be interesting. I'm happy to report, however, that all seems peaceful here in Talibandianapolis. When I went to vote last week, the clerk's office seemed as crowded as any polling place I've ever seen in my life, and I've been voting since the second Reagan presidential run. We still have our little neo-Nazis who march around putting Nazi flags and Trump flags and Don't Tread on Me flags, the otherwise known as the urine-colored snake flag, in front of their house, along with the devil's diaper, you know, the abomination of St. Andrew's Cross, which is someone of Scottish descent, pisses me off to no end. Most of my Horn family, most of them know I voted early if they live in the United States. Thank you for those of you who have yet to, and will like you, Bob and Agnes. Bless you, even if you hate the son of a bitch on the ballot, he's better than nothing, which is what we get if you don't. I'll know tomorrow whether I have to report to INS and see if I can't get deported back to the United States or if I'm already there. Signed, your buddy Dave, reporting from the Trumpansy blind in Taliban, Indiana. Meanwhile, Steve in New York says, hey, Bob, I've been to that Carmine's. It's on the Upper West Side. First of all, a two-hour wait on a weekend is a short wait. They should be lucky it wasn't closer to four, which is typical on a weekend. On a second note, I suspect they weren't wearing Jewish women here, so that's nothing but a red herring. But you'd probably be better off going to a good deli for the red herring. P.S., I frankly don't think the food's that great there anyway. If it's a 4-hour wait place, it probably isn't. The real gems you find in New York or any other city are the places that are around the block and where the locals go. That's where you find the good stuff. Meanwhile, Brother Deacon Asa says, regarding the two Jewish women, well, damn, 11 Jewish people just got slaughtered in cold blood because of filthy maggots like the two of them. Bingo. Yep. In regard to the I word, as he refers to it, Scott says, the swamp doesn't want to be drained, and the orange asshat doesn't want to be impeached. Right. Yeah, okay. Tara says, sure, meaning he gets it about impeachment. I'm saying what Democrats should say in response rather than allowing her pig lickings to kick the shit out of us. Kick back. Yeah, but then again, there's another school of thought on that. And that is to remain quiet or, you know, don't say anything about your intentions. Just do things. It's the old story about the actor who had a job as a spear carrier in a Shakespeare production, and you know, because he was into his character and he was living his motivations and making his choices and all those actory things, way upstage holding a spear, didn't have any lines or anything. The director giving notes one evening says, "Spear carrier number three, God damn it, man. Don't just do something. Stand there." It's kind of like that. Maybe go about the business of gathering the evidence, taking a hard look at what's possible, and then, as the saying goes, cut them off at the knees and kick their ass for being short. Yeah. Yeah, I get that. Steve in New York says, proof that both sides do it. What happened to those two poor women in New York is no different than what happened in Pittsburgh or what Trump does at his rallies. See? Both sides do it, Bob. Yeah. Ron in Raleigh says, sounds like old Ed Rendell knows which side his Y-back's buttered on. Triangulation, third way, anyone? Yeah, I know. I know. If we could... Because Ed is just sure that there are some nice Republicans out there. Ed's positive that there's Republicans we could work with and compromise with and sing kumbaya with. Sure. But slightly before airtime, I had a note. I had the every damn day note from Ron in Raleigh. It's Monday, and I'm sitting in a puddle of flop sweat. A new round of sanctions has been imposed on Iran, which Mike Pompeo, he finished first in his class at West Point, you know, you have to say that, says are not directed at the population of Iran, but to rein in the leadership from their desire to control the Middle East. Jabba the Trump wants to renegotiate the 2015 nuke treaty to include everything and the kitchen sink. The purpose of the new treaty is to have a country of 80 million people to kowtow to a country of 8.5 million people, Israel, and totally disarm. How we feel we have the right to tell another sovereign country how to handle their affairs is beyond me. Speaking of trying to tell another country how to handle its affairs, the new sanctions against Venezuela are because, in an amazing example of irony, Nicolas Maduro is trying to have the Constitution rewritten. This from a man that's trying to rewrite our Constitution with the stroke of a pen. Domestically, if you thought the Amos and Andy ad against Andrew Gillum was beyond the pale, the new ad in Georgia, yes, I know, that calls Oprah a magic negress and labels Stacey Abrams a negress and an Aunt Jemima. These people have no shame but the people that will be voting Republican or worse. I'm sure most will tell you that they aren't racist. I took your advice about quickness and watched the scene from Rocky II where Mick has Rocky chase a chicken. I'm going to spit nails, crap thunder, and eat lightning. You go, Ron. It's all about the quickness.
Jesus.
But all of that, and every bit of that's true. But see, the fun thing, and this is the part that drives Trump right out of his tree, out there on the really shaky limbs, is the fact that the so-called Iran deal
is a terrible deal, terrible deal. We don't, you know, I'm a great deal maker. I make deals slow in the driveway.
It was multilateral, so it relied on more than just the United States. And as long as the other countries don't want to renegotiate, well, and meanwhile, Iran is still sticking to the deal. They're still living up to their end. Yeah. And so there's there'll be no renegotiation. He can hoot about it and holler about it. But as long as the Germans and the French and, you know, maybe the British decide to adhere to it and the Iranians, well, the Donald Dumbass can just pound sand. Steve in New York says, wait a sec, the ads you described in Georgia were really a thing? Yes, they were really a thing. That same, what is it, path to glory, road to power, glorious, powerful roads, bunch of literal Nazis out in Idaho, and they're not ads per se, they're not running on TV or radio, they're robocall ads. But I'd really like to have some journalism on where the money comes from to fund this stuff. Because robocalls ain't that cheap. Or maybe they are. I was always given to understand they are not. But yeah, the robocall was real. Now, for instance, when Reuters sent the story, they didn't include a link to the audio, I guess because, they said audio, which we have reviewed, but I guess the tender and delicate sensibilities of you know, we the people were... Well, we can't have people actually hearing racists be racist. On the other hand, however, there are outlets that did provide the information. So, with an understanding that this is filthy Nazi racism, and that, well... Personally, I believe the American people need to know what maggots sound like in their natural state. And this is the Stacey Abrams, the anti-Stacey Abrams robocall that Nazis paid to make to various and sundry telephone numbers in Georgia. You know, if I can... Get it to
And no, robocalling, as Silent R. Lamar points out, isn't traceable. But it's got a disclaimer on the end that tells you who done it. And this, again, is because Oprah Winfrey campaigned for Stacey Abrams in Georgia, which, of course, Brian Kemp, white guy, maggot, Secretary of State, Republican, hated. You know, this is annoying as hell. We'll get there. We will get there. Well, damn it.
This is the magical Negro, Oprah Winfrey, asking you to make my fellow Negress, Stacey Abrams, the governor of Georgia. Years ago, the Jews who owned the American media saw something in me, the ability to trick dumb white women into thinking I was like them, and to do, read, and think what I told them to. I see that same potential in Stacey Abrams. Where others see a poor man's Aunt Jemima, I see someone white women can be tricked into voting for, especially the fat ones. And so I promise that every single person who votes for Stacey Abrams, you're going to get a new car. So you get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car. Everybody gets a car. And as far as the race-aware whites who are in the way, don't worry about them. Like I said in that famous interview in 2013, white racists just have to die. This message paid for by the RoadToPower.com.
Well, there you go. It, granted, they didn't have monkeys in the background this time like they did with Andrew Gillum. But that's it. Yeah. That's an ad, a robocall ad, in favor of Brian Kemp from Nazis in Idaho. And in stories about this, they all, you know, that they've all got a sort of similar template. Brian Kemp denounced the automated call, calling it vile and contrary to the highest ideals of our state and country, in a statement to CNN. He also condemned any person or organization that peddles this type of unbridled hate and unapologetic bigotry. So if it had been apologetic bigotry, I guess he would have been okay with it. What? You know, the goddess of irony will make these people give themselves up. Unapologetic bigotry. Unbridled hate. If it had been bridled hate, yeah, maybe Brian Kemp's better with it. Sometimes it's a good editorial choice just to sort of leave the adjectives alone. But Brian Kemp knows what Ron Monkey Up DeClantis knows down in Florida. That in a race where the margin may be 1% or a half of a percent, having Nazis and racists and Klansmen on your side can make all the difference in the world. Just look at 2016.
Les with a note. Says, I'm tired of these motherfuckers. I rolled from New York Sunday and arrived back in Florida 3 hours ago. 987 miles to make sure Andrew Gillum's name gets placed below that sign next to the word governor when you drive into the state of Florida. Good on you, Les. Good on you. But again, when a candidate like Kemp or Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis is counting on, literally counting on Nazis and Klansmen and various unaffiliated racists to make the difference in his their campaigns, then the people who aren't have to show up at the polls with a will. Yeah. Or they will make the difference. Asa says, wow, Oprah sounds awful manly and white in that robocall. Perhaps she had a cold when she was recording it. But again, where is the reporting on who this organization is? And more importantly, where they get their money? Darlene in Connecticut, subject line, maggots, Nazi humor. You know the purveyors of that filthy robocall think it's hilarious. I fail to see. Oh, of course they do. They just laugh and laugh. Because that passes for humor. It's kind of like that laugh riot thing from Grabian. Or Grabian, or whatever. That I played, what, Friday? That had no funny in it at all, but you know that the maggots who put it together were just the knee slapping over it. This, you know, the fact that we don't get any reporting about where those outfits get their money, how they pay for that filth, is largely a function of our entirely screwed up campaign finance system. It might be impossible to find that out. But you want to find out. White ladies that for some reason or another just stand by Trump. Let me bring Steve from Georgia Stan on real quick. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Bob.
I'm glad you called.
Okay, hold on. I got to go kill this audio. Give me 5 seconds, okay?
Okay, that's fine.
Or you're going to get a loop feedback.
Yeah, let's don't do that.
Hey, Bob, thanks for getting around to me so quickly. I wasn't expecting that.
No worries. It the timing is perfect. Because I have a clip here from MSNBC of an MSNBC reporter, Katie Turr, who's pretty good. And she is interviewing a generic Georgia white lady about the allegations of...
The one in Gwinnett County, I'm sure. Yep.
The allegations that there's some disenfranchisement going on thanks to the action of Brian Kemp. So let's run that audio and get your take.
Immigration is a big priority for them. We're also hearing about health care. I talked to one lady who said that she doesn't want to see socialism. Two ladies both saying they don't want to see socialism. They see Stacey Abrams as a socialist who will give health care to people who don't deserve it. Immigration, again, comes up, and what happened at the border, one woman was saying that she understands that the president and the administration made some mistakes at the border, but they're working to correct it. So it is a much different set of priorities at the two different events. But I do want to talk to one lady, Rachel, who's here with me now. Rachel, when you come out to a Kemp event, what is the number one reason you're here?
So good morning. I am a supporter of Brian's and have been for a number of years. I've known him for a while. And so I would be here today because of him. But on top of that, as a native Georgian and actually native to Atlanta, I have watched the difference as our state has shifted from Democrat leadership into Republican leadership. And without a doubt, the last few years under Republican leadership in the governor's mansion, all the way through all of our constitutional officers, this state is moving ahead. There's a reason why for years we've been named the number one state to do business. There's a reason why we're on the short list for HQ2 to be here. There's a reason why Mercedes-Benz moved here. There's a reason why my employer has decided to build, to invest in Gwinnett County and to stay here. And so I say all that to say that Brian Kemp is the candidate who is going to continue to help us move forward. And
so for you, it's the economy.
It's absolutely the economy. And, you know, this is the thing. It's the economy stupid, right? That's been around for a long time. And for me, it's true. My paycheck is better than it has been. You know, all of those things kind of compile.
Let me ask you one other question. When I was at the Abrams event last night, and a lot of voters were talking about wanting to find unity. They were also talking a lot about health care. Are those two things that come into your mind? Do you think Brian Kemp is somebody that can bridge a gap in this state if he were to win between Republican and Democratic voters?
So, again, I think because Brian is also, you know, an Atlanta or a Georgia native. He's from outside of Atlanta in Athens. He knows that there are two Georgians and that we have to work together to bring them together. It is the rural areas that health care is probably the biggest issue for them because of the hospitals that are closing and the lack of access when 159 counties and you have so far to go to get to something. The people in South Georgia have been turning out for him.
Yeah.
I think that tells you of the two candidates is going to do the best to reach out and make sure that health care is accessible.
Joy, I don't have to tell you this. It's going to be a close race. It already is a close race. There's a decimal point percentage between the two candidates right now. It's very likely to go off to a runoff on Tuesday if one does not win 50+1%. And as you know, it's a bit of a cloud of controversy because Brian Kemp is the one who would be in charge of a recount if the
So we get a pretty good idea, don't we, Steve, of
where to even begin to uncouch that, Bob?
You're welcome to try.
Holy shit.
But, you know, the whole idea, you know, that if African-Americans are disenfranchised, it's their own fault. It's because they're too dumb to follow directions. Really?
Well, not to place labels on anybody, but that's a Gwinnett County Stepford wife. They're a dime a dozen. You've lived here. You've seen them. They're very submissive. They do whatever their husband tells them. And I bet you that her husband wasn't 10 foot away from her when they were doing that interview.
You're probably right. And I know of what you speak. Back in the day, there was it wasn't necessarily Gwinnett, but there was a joke about I'm not going to do it. I'll get in trouble. I'll get in trouble.
Yeah. I knew where you were going. You probably better not.
Yeah, there were Dunwoody jokes. Let's put it
right.
That way.
Yep.
Yeah.
But as far as the economy, Georgia's always been a real estate-based economy, and it really started booming under Roy Barnes' administration back in the early 90s when we had that real estate boom. So I don't know where this lady is. She's just pulling facts out of her ass, man.
Well, that's the thing. They're not facts.
Yeah, well, she's pulling statements out of her ass. Was she here during the 2008 crash when everybody was literally almost... when you couldn't get in the unemployment line? I mean, you had to wait outside to get unemployment. It cost my job with Cox Communications. She didn't bring that little factoid up, did she?
Well, no. And she didn't bring up the fact that
you know, Brian Kemp wasn't exactly screaming no, hell no, back when the Georgia legislature, the Republican legislature, was trying to punish Delta for ending its relationship with the National Ruble Association. And that's not that far in the past, but there it was. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not to be repetitive, but there's so many fallacies in what she said that that's difficult to even to know where to start to dissect.
Well, it's kind of racist too, isn't it?
Yes. And Brian Kemp is on record. He's wanting to kill the Affordable Care Act. And all these people, they're going to vote against their own best interests when they're all out of health care. Then who are they going to go crying to? They're going to blame it on the Democrats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at the I know different states and everything. But the senatorial debate between Joe Manchin and Patrick Morrisey here in West Virginia. Every other word out of Morrisey's mouth was Hillary Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton. Well, he ain't running against Hillary Clinton. And Joe Manchin wasn't exactly, welcoming to Barack Obama. But it's what they're fixated on.
Well, and they're also fixated on Nancy Pelosi. She's in just about 70% of the ads that these Republicans are running, you know, trying to demonize their opponent. They'll throw up a picture of Nancy Pelosi. Now, why there's so much hatred towards Nancy Pelosi, I've yet to put my finger on.
Because she whips their ass and makes them like it. Because she's effective. Because for these past 2 years Julius Geiser's been in office, she's managed to hold her caucus together in the House, and not just no, but hell no to whatever Trump, wickedness, whatever evil he wanted to run through. That's why they hate her. But on the other hand, look at Rich Ojeda here in West Virginia. Now he's getting a lot of buzz and a lot of notice, and he produced an ad where he said, now this is a Democrat, okay, Steve? And he's doing what he has to do.
Ed Randell, yep.
He's doing what he thinks he has to do to win. And lo and behold, he's got an ad where he says, and if I'm elected and I go to Washington, I'll tell that Nancy Pelosi to go piss up a rope.
And if you were in his district, you'd have to vote for him. I mean, what other choice would you have?
I am in his district.
So you got to vote for him. Jesus.
Yeah, I'm going to vote.
You have to.
I'm going to vote for a candidate for Congress who actually voted for Donald Trump in 2016.
And Kavanaugh.
Well, and then that's on the Senate side.
Yeah, it's on the Senate side.
But like I said, I have to sort of.
He's not up yet, though, is he? Or,
I have to sort of check my privilege on that, though. Like I said, you know, from that tweet that I mentioned that I'd seen on Horst's feed from the woman who said Medgar Evers and Fannie Lou Hamer didn't exactly have good candidates to vote for either, but they wanted to vote anyhow, and that really did sort of check me.
And circling back to this Ed Randell nonsense, that was the ultimate in both siderisms.
Oh, yeah.
You hear crap like that, it just makes you want to pull your hair out. Ed just needs to go away. You know, he's not in a political spotlight anymore. Just go away. And I would like to interject something here, if I may, Bob.
Go right ahead.
You know, and I'm going to confess a little bit here, and this is tough to do. But back during when George Bush was elected, and, you know, I didn't vote for him, God no. Back during that Al Gore thing, and then when George Bush was reelected, and mind you, I campaigned for John Kerry, and I campaigned for Al Gore, and I fought for him, and I protested. That's not what this is about. But what this is about is, in the back of my head, I always had a comforting thought saying, well, even if they win, it's probably not going to affect mine and Karen's way of life. You can't say that this time around, Bob, because I can promise you, and please, everybody that can hear my voice, like you said earlier tonight, this is going to affect you. It's already affected you. If you're an independent contractor, if you don't think it's affected you, wait until you file your taxes next go around. All those little convenient write-offs that you had, they're gone, man. They're gone. And it's only going to get worse. It's only going to snowball from here. This is going to affect you. This is an all-hands-on-deck situation. And I've never been more serious about anything. Please vote. This, the apprehension of this has got my stomach in knots, because the seriousness of this cannot be understated. We have to rally the troops as best as we can.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, because I come back to my central thesis, and that is that the turnout has got to be the likes of which has not been seen, especially not in midterm elections.
We cannot give them any wiggle room whatsoever. And if we are fortunate enough to take back the House, then we could show them what we represent to the working man. We can send legislation over to the Senate saying, okay, we want $15 an hour, even though we know it's never going to see the light of day. You know, come the next election time, we could say, hey, this is what we wanted. Senate wouldn't even table it.
Yeah. And by the way, you got a note from Steve in New York. You're
Oh, my buddy Steve.
Your fellow brother in the fraternity, yeah. Of Steve. As touching upon your question about Nancy Pelosi, Steve says, it's simple. San Francisco Democrats equal the queers are coming to gayify your cherins and transgenderate your boys. And it's true.
That is true.
Because that's how Republicans campaign. They campaign on dog whistles. But Steve also said, subject line, cognitive dissonance. So the GOP's been moving Georgia ahead, yet there are disparities in health care with rural communities, et cetera, which happened during the GOP's tenure, yet they're going to now fix it. Day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, poverty around the inner city is as bad as it's ever been. But her pampered Gwinnett County ass doesn't see that part of town. You know, she doesn't care either, even if she does see it. Because, you know, it's not her wheelhouse.
Well, but you know they're getting nervous because the particularly virulent ones are getting mouthy. There's an outfit there, Steve, called the 3% Security Force Intel. And that's a Roman number, Roman numeral 3, percent Security Force Intel. And they sent out a Facebook post over the weekend. Well, they said, exclusive report on midterms to air on Monday. Spoiler alert, Monday you will see 3% Security Force tell the world that we have President Trump's 6. They like to talk like they like their soldier talk. It gets all their tiny todgers all stiffy. We've got President Trump's 6. If commies win Tuesday and go forward with usurping and impeaching, you got to come through 3%. We will defend our president. We want President Trump to kick the shit out of deep state police state. And Stacey Abrams for governor in Georgia, you flag-burning, gun-grabbing socialist biatch. We will defend our state in the Second Amendment. Tune in Monday for the exclusive. Guns up!
She is such a classy lady, and she would be such an asset to this state. But these dumbasses can't see what's in front of them. All they see is color.
Guns up? I mean, isn't that an overt statement that they intend to be violent if they don't get their political way?
Well, yeah. Yeah, and like you, Bob, I'm surrounded by them. I'm sure you are, too. You're coal-burning neighbors, you know?
Yeah, I got my first whiff of that the other night.
And we have to get along with them. You don't want to shit where you sleep. But, you know, I just try to stay in my corner and let them stay in theirs. But, you know, getting back to what I'm saying, vote, And if you can find somebody like-minded, you can feel them out first. If they're not like-minded, oh, hell no, don't take them to the polls. They'll just be killing your vote. But feel them out first. And if they're like-minded, offer them a ride. Do what you have to. Because it's going to affect you. Global warming is real, man. You would have to be a blind man not to notice that these hurricanes are getting more and more intense. My God, this last one that just came up through Georgia barely missed me. Stayed a hurricane all the way into the Carolinas. Inland.
Yeah, hundreds of miles.
Hundreds of miles. When have you ever heard of that before?
Not a lot.
It's going to affect you. You could have one come out from the East Coast, Bob, head due west, and hit you.
Oh, yeah. No, it's happened. It's happened.
And it's going to happen. If we don't get a handle on this, and I don't know what your countdown clock is today. It's, what do we have, 12 years or?
Well, actually, it's less than that now that less it turns that. Out. It turns out a group of scientists released a report a week or so ago in which they pointed out that the oceans are warming considerably faster than they thought.
They're going to be common. They're going to be the rule rather than the exception. And if we keep up with this fracking, if we keep pumping bullshit into the ground, you're going to keep getting, you're going to kill the aquifer system, and the earthquakes are going to get more intense. It's going to be where this planet's getting unlivable. It's going to affect you, goddammit. Wrap your head around that.
Oh, yeah.
This has my stomach in knots, you know. And I don't mean to sound all preachy and shit. That's not who I am. But, I just want what's best for everybody. Please hear me.
And, you've got people, Steve in New York says, my dad and stepmom live in Canton, Georgia. He told me it's a prime Trumpansie habitat.
Oh, it is?
And like privileged lady there from Gwinnett, she doesn't care, okay? She doesn't care what works for all of Georgia. She wants what she wants, and, she wants it now.
Right.
And then the devil take that.
Veruca Salt. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Veruca Salt. I want it now, and Daddy.
This hatred, Bob, it's infectious. You know, even my mom that has dementia, they can't hardly string thoughts together much anymore. The other day she told me, I hate Nancy Pelosi. I just hate her. And I said, Mom, why? Of course, she couldn't tell me why. And I didn't dig down even further. That would have been cruel. She has dementia. But my point is, it's infectious. It's like a vampiric disease almost.
Well, when you go visit Mom, how often is the damn TV tuned to Fox?
It's they got big, giant, stadium-sized TVs that are tuned to Fox all the time.
And
stadium-sized might be an overstatement, but you know what I mean. TVs that won't fit in my house.
Right. And so it's no surprise then, is it, that lo and behold, you hear Fox talking points. And yep. The sad thing is, that Fox goes 24/7 trying to basically Fox is a terrorizing organization who uses their platform for the most part to scare old people.
Something has to be done about them, and I don't really have any answers, but it's going to start. It starts with us, and it starts tomorrow. They need to be labeled for what they are. They're not a news channel. They never have been.
No, it's a propaganda arm.
It's paid for news. And we were talking in the chat room Friday. Frank Zappa warned us of this shit 30 years ago. If you don't believe me, just go to C-SPAN and search Frank Zappa. He testified in front of Congress about the dangers of news for profit.
Yeah, and
it's chilling.
And it's all of this is so toxic to everything that we would like for our country to be. Consider the group of teachers. And, you know, usually we say nice things about teachers. But you can't say that any group is uniformly good or uniformly bad. But up at Heights Elementary School in the state of Idaho, teachers dressed for Halloween as Trump's border wall. They all had pieces of cardboard in front of them that looked like it was, you know, bricks. You know what I mean? Looked like, and they stood together for a photograph, and across the wall it says, "Make America Great Again."
So they weren't being satirical.
No. So the school district superintendent, Middleton School District in Ohio, or Idaho rather, said, "I was shown those photos and deeply troubled by the decision by our staff members to wear those costumes that are clearly insensitive and inappropriate. We're better than this. We embrace all students. We have a responsibility to teach and reach all students, period." And so, but he did go on to say, "I don't think that they meant to offend their students." Here's the thing, though. 10% of the student population in that school district is Latino.
So this circles back to the Kemp thing, denouncing that hideous Oprah ad that I fortunately never heard until you played it. He might denounce it, but he won't turn the vote away. It's an ignorant thing to say because he can't, but he wouldn't if he could.
Oh, hell no. Jesus.
So, just I'm going to say it one more time, Bob, and I got to let Cletus out. Please vote tomorrow, everybody. Take a friend. Take two friends. As long as they're of like mind, we've got to do this because this really is going to affect you.
Truer words have never been spoken.
Nice talking to you, Bob.
Steve, hang in there. Just remember, by this time tomorrow, we won't know a goddamn thing.
Not a thing. It may be days. So just keep the Pepto handy, because my stomach's going to be in knots.
Oh no! I'm gonna hang a bottle of cheap tequila from an IV stand, and get one of those backpacker water bag things with the bite valve on it, and just kind of have it hanging here by me, and just bite down on it every now and then.
Nice talking to you, Bob.
You be
more
good,
family.
Steve.
I love you guys, man. Take care.
We love you too, man. Take care, and hate him as Karen, and hate a little Cletus, and hate a little Twiggy.
I'll do it. Thank you, Bob.
All right, later, Steve. Our buddy Steve from Georgia, Stan. And I read a report over the weekend that, like, there's all kinds of, especially younger people, are badly stressed over this whole thing, this election. And God, I understand it. I had problems with the stress line the other night. I hope I'm not still having problems with the stress line. Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I hear you. Awesome. Were you getting the audio feed during the program, during the conversation with Steve?
I really wanted to talk with Steve from Georgetown. I really did.
So you heard him?
Listen, I heard, and I really, really wanted to talk with Steve because when I see my friends in Gwinnett, okay, they've been there for decades, at least two decades, and that's the MARTA stop where I get off. Anyway, when you get off the MARTA there, it's a Mexican neighborhood. And I say Mexican because you get off, there's like a taqueria, you know, right across the street from the subway stop. And they come pick me up, and we go to Gwinnett. But the part, I don't know, like, Gwinnett maybe is, I only know the part where I go in Gwinnett. But it's very, you know, the part where they live is pretty upscale, and everyone is represented where they live. It's like, they live next to Chinese people, Nigerians, I mean, the Iranians, you know, they're all professional people, they're all wealthy. Not wealthy, but, you know, they do not. I don't know how they vote. I know how my people vote, but you know, you never know how people vote. But that, I have so much, it's so much. You see, that's why I'm calling. I'm not going to call you guys. I wanted to talk with Steve, though, man. What's up, Steve? I hope you hear me, man. What's up, Steve? I hope you hear me.
He's probably got his speakers on, but he's walking little Cletus right now. Cletus is freaking out, too.
Well, I understand that because I have my Cletus type entity also. Well, we do. But anywho,
but you know, yes, you mentioned Gwinnett County. There's something that needs to be. Gwinnett County is the bunch of Georgians who first catapulted one Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich to power.
Yeah, but see, it changed quick. See,
and that's and that's what's driving people like Brian Kemp crazy. You got to figure out a way to keep those people from voting.
Man, it's beautiful. I mean, you know, it's like the schools. I mean, it's just like idyllic. It's like the modern day the Beaver kind of. I mean, where they live, you know. And then we have friends who their houses aren't quite so large, but it's still nice. You know, it's very. I mean, ain't no ghetto in Gwinnett County. I'll put it like that. Ain't no ghetto. Put it like that. None of that.
No hood.
So. No hood. No. No. None of that. You know, the people fight about whose child was doing best in school. That's what they argue about. And is your garage door open too long? And you know, are you violating the covenant? You know, things of that nature. That's what Gwinnett. The more I see that this Kemp guy, I'm not going to use a pejorative term, but I mean, my God, he comes across exactly like a stereotype. And that's what it's really disgusting. But let me back up.
Okay.
Because you brought up Rendell, and let me tell you something. Now, I'm not going to say I know him, but we've shaken hands or shook hands. Now, you have to help me with this. We shook hands. Now, I know the difference between historic and historical, but yeah, so we shook hands a number of times because we lived in the same neighborhood, and his house is not that fancy. It's a slate roof. I know exactly where he lives, you know. But he's for Philadelphia, you see. He's like a he's almost a Republican. You know what I mean? He's always been that way. But he was a prosecutor. He's the one who prosecuted Mumia. See? So he's got that black mark on him as far as I'm concerned. Because that was totally correct. No, it was crazy. But that's a whole, wow, that's a whole other story, man. But seriously, he's a good politician. I had to give him that. He's a good politician. He's a lot like the woman we had from down here, you know, the Indian lady. You know, she's a good politician.
Nimrata.
Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a difference between being ethical and being a politician. And so he's a good politician. And now he's getting older, he's getting grouchy. You know what I mean? And I'm glad you brought that up because I think now, when are we going to learn? Fuck that Republican-like shit. Fuck that. If you're going to do it right or don't do it.
Well, yeah.
Because this other shit, this mealy-mouth shit ain't working. Because I remember when Clinton got lucky because of the internet. You know, the economy boomed up because that's right when the internet took off because he out Republican, the Republicans. He's the one who did away with the social safety net. He did away with a lot of things, you know, Clinton did. But, you know, he was maybe at the cusp of when things are changing, you know, because otherwise he wouldn't have been that lucky, I don't think.
Oh, by the way, I just got a note from Hung Like Jesus. And he says, I live in Gwinnett County, Bob, and there are plenty of low-income areas here. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Right. See, I don't get to that area, see, because that's where my folks live, you know. They told me that, you know, and I guess I see. I don't know where the counties are. It's not like it says here, delineation. Okay.
So, did you early vote, Todd, or are you going tomorrow?
I'm going tomorrow. I'll be there. I plan to be in the first 10. I plan to be first. You know, that's my plan. Because I'm excited. I hate to equate this shit with a damn football game or a sporting event. But this is some exciting shit. I have to say, this is just.
It marks us out as shallow and vapid, and but the fact of the matter is, I don't know if you caught it Saturday, but if you love college ball, that WVU Texas game was for the ages.
Oh God!
But you said. And, yeah, so I sat there that whole game going, Jesus, whoever has – oh, it's going to be one of those. Whoever has the ball last wins. Fuck. And just, with my guts in knots going, oh, no, please, please, please. You know, and we went down like
you couldn't tell yourself – you couldn't pee, could you?
We went down 31-27, and it's like, oh, no, 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 no. And so – it had the same quality of hoping against hope that there wasn't going to be a disaster that tomorrow kind of has. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, yep. You know, as a diehard Mountaineer fan and as a proud son of Harvard on the Mon, mm-hmm. I sat there, and I've been heartbroken so many times. That,
so many. How many, Bob? How many?
Oh, Jesus, don't start.
I mean, that's a lot.
No,
I mean,
I was in the student section for some of the great Don Nealon chokes. Painful. But the reason I mention it is that it had that same sort of waiting for the other shoe to drop quality.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't end well for the Texas fans, but it ended well for the Mountaineer fans. And so I'm hoping that as wrought as this process has me, that by the time Wednesday rolls around, I'll be able to go, whew, man, made it. But it's not as clear cut as people think. I swear to God, Todd, it's not.
This is why, and if you've listened to the very best that America has to offer in terms of survey research and pollsters, they rarely tell you, wow, we just don't have a model for this. Because they're telling you they can't do shit with it. That's not their business model.
Well, I saw some article today, I think maybe from CNN, saying that, you know, basically there's 35 toss-up races out there that are going to make them, that are going to decide this.
35?
Yeah.
How do you fucking do that shit?
That's just what the article said. And you know, okay. So the entire House of Representatives is up for election. And we're going to decide, and according to that analysis, 35 races are going to be what does it.
Well, let me tell you how terrible it is. I had the opportunity to go to Trader Joe's today.
Oh, yes?
I did. And it was, and whoa, man, it had ghost pepper in a grinder. Ooh. And it had a label that said, this is the hottest pepper. And it's, the shit is fucking wrapped up inside of the grinder.
Which, yeah, because it's damn near toxic. Right, yeah.
I'm not fucking exaggerating.
Did you get you some yuzu hot sauce?
Man, I couldn't afford that shit.
Well,
come on.
It was a couple of bucks.
Okay, if you say so.
I mean, it was. It was, it's just a tiny little bottle. It's 3.4 ounces. You could almost take it on an airplane.
I know. I'm cheap. I'm just saying. I had to get other people wanted other things. I had to get lamb chops. I mean, you know, you never know.
Ooh, well, okay, No. If you were getting lamb chops, you didn't have any extra yuzu money.
No, they had the New Zealand lamb, and they were looking all fresh. I was like, oh, you know, and I know what you're saying. I see it in there. You know, Trader Joe's, you know, you got to get what they have when they have it. It does certain things. You know me, I tell the truth, man. I'm in the game too long to lie. I don't have to lie. So, but the Rendell thing prompted me to call, and that woman, oh my God, because Steve Inskeep, I was listening to NPR this morning, and I don't know if it's the same interview that you guys are talking about, or see, these people are like, they're the Borg. They're like zombies. I think Chris Hayes listens to your show. I really do. I really believe that.
Hi, Chris.
Because he said the Borg one. I was like, that sounds familiar. You know, but that's okay. I don't give a fuck. That's cool. Whatever. It's the truth is the truth. We can't. I mean, come on. We have to be about the truth now. I mean, these people are ridiculous. They spew out these fucking lies, and it's so sad. It is. We're in a bad place. I hope the fever breaks. I hope this is either. If the fever does not break with this election, we're in fucking trouble. But let me rewind a little bit because I didn't mean to shout. That woman this morning, Steve Inskeep, was, I believe, I don't know, it was somewhere in South Florida, Texas. So she said to him, because remember, we have to, let's preface it. The people that we don't agree with, they swear to God that NPR, CNN, C-SPAN, they swear Washington Journal is slanted left. Okay? Washington
Say
Journal
what?
Is liberal. Every day. Every day. No Philly stuff. Every day. You know, every day. A bunch of people. I used to like C-SPAN, but you people are leading the left, right? I'm just about to cook my damn cable off, but y'all ain't right. Give me that bottle, baby. You know, I mean, this shit is fucked up. Then I got Jesse Lee on tap. Oh, man.
Oh, Peterson?
I got him. Is it Bob McKay? Bob McKay? Now, my friend Pat Robertson has informed me that you have been casting aspersions against me. Now, I'm gonna stop. I'm sorry, my mind's on it.
No,
I'm gonna drop that.
No, it's just
no.
It's,
I'm gonna
it's
drop
too,
it. I've been working on him.
That's too crazy for now. Yeah, you didn't sound drunk enough.
Yeah, you know my mind's on it, but I've been working. Man, I think I got it. Though. Seriously, I've been working on him. I was like, wow. And I listened to him. And I was like, ooh, I think I got it. Dude is fucked up. But I think I got him. But I'm gonna drop it on you at a later date. This thing is too crucial right now. But this woman. Okay, so Steve Inskeep. Now we know, goddamn it, these people, this is public money. They go out of their way. They have focus groups to make sure that they're not leaning too left or too right. Okay? And the shit is so fucked up, even on Washington Journal, where they were using Breitbart as a fucking news source at one point. And I didn't complain, but I'm glad somebody else did, because they stopped doing that shit. How the fuck can you use Breitbart as a fucking news source on Washington Journal?
Well, yeah, there's that, and then there's the question I asked last week. How is it that the premier platform for alt-right, neo-Nazi, nationalist, blah, 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 bullshit, has its own channel on Sirius XM? Explain me that.
Well, Bob, if the truth will hurt you, And I say that, and I would refer you to your friend, Ron in the Sandbox, Ron from the Frozen North.
Yeah.
See, the problem, and I think we've talked about this before, and I don't know if I mentioned it, but I'll mention it again. I have a close relative who just retired from the military, quite high up. And he had been warning me about this since the late 80s. You know, we had the folks, you know, we've always had the neo-Nazi folks in Pennsylvania and Oregon and places like that in Washington State. And they would send the young folks into the military to get military training and then, you know, come out after their enlistment was up to train other folks and, you know, to use militia shit, you know, white supremacy militia shit, you know, according to U.S. Army regulations. So the Army got wise to that, so they used to start having the whole detail looking at tattoos for young recruits, you know, and screening for this, like, you know, in a subversive type of way, because they could see this was happening. But you see, now we got there's a whole cohort in the military that are down with Trump, you see, and this is going to pose a problem. It could pose a problem. Not going to, it could pose a problem. I'm not going to say it will, but that variable is out there. And that's something that we have to contend with.
You can't pretend it's not real.
You can't pretend it's not real. Just because you want to say it's not there doesn't mean it's not there. Just because you don't smell that person farting does not mean they're not farting.
That's true. Oh, by the way, you got a note from Randy in PA.
Mm-hmm.
He says, tell Todd at Trader Joe's, you got to get the big frozen meat lasagna for $6.
Damn Skippy. He's right. It's better than Stouffer's. That's some good shit.
You know, maybe we just need to spin a program on Trader Joe's talk.
No, well, you know what? Since you brought it up, I we don't get to often talk that much off the air, but because of my background, I've been contemplating somehow. You know, it wouldn't hurt them, you know, as much as we talk about them. You know, slide a couple bucks. You said, listen to the program. All you got is slide a couple bucks. You know, we were talking about you guys a lot.
Oh, no, because then the little right-wingers would say, I'm never going to shop at Trader Joe's again. Of course, they don't shop there to begin with. They're, you know, but you get the idea.
They don't.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, you also got a note from, Otto. I'm listening to Todd while I'm typing this. Big TV streaming Fox. I still remember reading Adorno's description of Hitler's voice continually streaming from loudspeakers back in the 30s and 40s. It's all about control, says Otto. And he's right. He's right. And then Darlene gets right to the core of the problem. They want to watch, she says. They want to watch Fox News. It's not like we should dub ourselves those viewers' saviors by trying to point out the truth that Fox is propaganda. We've already been pointing that out for years. They're drawn to that propaganda. I can't watch Fox News for more than 30 seconds before I get a headache and feel like I'm a shower with bleach. It's what they're drawn to for a variety of reasons, including an insatiable need to be narcissistically afraid because it gives them some weird illusion that by keeping other people down and identified as the enemy, they have control. Isn't that wild?
Wow.
Isn't that wild? So two completely different people reaching the same conclusion who aren't in communication with each other. Darlene, they have control. Otto says it's all about control.
I'm frightened. I absolutely agree. Darlene and Otto, that is exactly what I see, all right, my observation, because when you see these, in other words, like going back to Steve Inske, and please don't let me get off on the tangent, please keep me on this, on what you just talked about. I'm trying to keep this tight, I want to keep this tight, succinct, okay, not succinct, but cogent, okay. Steve, a woman asked Steve, she said, what? She says, well, tell me one reason why you like Trump. And, you know, I'm totally sober. And first thing in the morning, I'm like, wow, okay. So she's saying that because he's from NPR and she feels like NPR is left. That's why she's asking him that fucking question in that way. Now, am I wrong in that?
I don't think so.
Okay, so we're starting off from a deficit. Okay. So he says, and he pauses. He's like, oh, shit. He pauses. which you're not supposed to do on radio. He pauses and he says, "Well, why do you?" You know, and he was like, "Oh, I could hear him through the radio, man. Like, oh my God, this bitch is fucking crazy." She's like, "Well, what do you mean? No, I don't mean it like that. I mean, this woman is crazy." And so he says, "Well, please, tell me why you like Trump." She said, "I just love everything he does. Everything he says is right, and people need to just follow him. He's our president." See, this, and let's keep that. Let's make this a footnote. He's our president, because that's a very important footnote in this whole conversation. He's our president. That's a very important footnote at the end of each conversational document. Okay. So, he says, okay. And the shit sounded just unbelievably wild. Even when they went back to whoever the anchor was in the morning, it wasn't Manga talking to Barkey, because that comes on later after that. But the woman, it was a female, and she was like breathless. Oh my God. So how is it? We're in a terrible place. We're in a really fucked up place where everyone is looking at the same set of facts
and seeing completely different things.
And it's like, how do you tell people, well, I'm sorry, at some point someone is right and someone is wrong, and you're fucking wrong. And you're stupid. And I'm sorry, it hurts. I would not like to be called stupid or ignorant. You can call me nigger 10 days from Wednesday. I don't give a fuck. But if you call me ignorant or stupid, I might have a fucking problem. I might have to fucking, do
well,
something.
Well, so here's a little bit of, what do we call this, empirical evidence?
Oh, I love, see? Oh, I love the E word. Give it to me.
So a young woman of color took a picture and put it on social media. She referred to herself as a reformed Republican and wore a MAGA hat and said, "I will not hide any longer. The left has made us feel as if us black Republicans should hide, but not anymore. Hashtag blacks for Trump, hashtag walk away, hashtag MAGA." Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Still
mm-hmm.
with me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then mm-hmm. she puts out another, she posts something saying that, "Thank you all so much for your overwhelming support. After seeing this tweet, my parents cut me off and refused to pay my university tuition. So if you can find it in your hearts to help this young black Republican pay for school, it would be appreciated." And then she posted some pictures of text message conversations about trying to find a place to live, et cetera, et cetera. Then she put up the GoFundMe link. And she and maggots all over the country gave her about $150,000.
Oh my, okay. Is that an IQ test?
And then she got outed, and it turns out she ain't no black Republican for Trump.
That's what I'm saying.
When asked, she said, "Well, it wasn't stealing, because Republicans aren't people to begin with."
Oh God. Woo! Man. This is multidimensional.
She went pro.
Oh, shit. Man, see, you touched on, like, a whole tome of shit there, I'll be honest with you. Like, I told you, man, I know plenty of black Republicans. I know plenty of black people who voted for Trump. And it's all about the money. Because if you talk to them, most of them, they'll say, well, most people are racist and prejudiced anyway. in America, it's all about the money. And to some extent, that might be true. Because remember, Donald Trump does deal with people of color, high Hispanics, Negroes, if they got some money. Because that's all he responds to is money. That's his reinforcer. That's it. Trump is money. That's all he believes in. You know? I mean, that's the way I see it. I mean, that's my observation. Let me slow down, because I don't want to be so... I don't want to sound like that. I'm just saying. I've been watching this guy since I was a teenager in the 80s. And, it's just so sad. But, I mean, all right, on that little short-tired diatribe, what do you have to say about that?
The fact of the matter is, the maggots aren't very smart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it kind of comes down to that, doesn't it? I mean, I'm sure there are intelligent maggots. I know for a fact that there are intelligent maggots, and they're motivated by something else. But, I mean, I make jokes, you know, black Americans for the president's agenda, and then I always say both of them. But they were braying. I think it was Beavis or Butthead. I can't keep them straight. Uday or Kuse, whichever one is Don Jr. because he tweets a lot more. Maybe it was Julius Geezer himself. Highest poll numbers ever for blacks voting for 40%. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really? 40%? Because, you know, no.
Well, see, you know, American black folk are complicated. Black folk, period. Now, you know, some black folk believe that if you just do what the white man does, you'll be all right. Eat what he eats, do what he does, and you'll be okay. You know, forget your identity, whatever. Just follow this book. And to some extent, that's true. To some extent. In terms of, you know, getting into the middle class and this and that. Because remember, we have a permanent black underclass in this country. And it's really sad. If you travel around, you always know where the poor blacks live. It's easy to see. Even if you don't see a black folk on the street, you can tell where the black folk live. And one part of our society will say, well, see, they're inherently, you know, inept. Why would they still be living like this with all this opportunity? When another side of society will say, well, you know, this is what happens when you've had redlining for decades and, poor education and blah, blah, blah.
Well, yeah, and especially in the South, there you can point to 159 years or whatever. 153 years, 1865. 153 years of the South doing everything in its power, Todd, to try to make sure that there were no opportunities.
Well, there you go.
And then white Southerners turn around and say things like, they don't want to work. They being people of color. But mm-hmm. But for 153 years, there've been shitty schools. The white flight away from the public schools after Brown versus Board of Education. Assholes filing suit if there's any kind of preferential treatment or program designed to try to ameliorate or alleviate some of those massive institutional level failings. And you wind up going, well, duh. And it's heartbreaking.
Exactly.
It's fucking heartbreaking. Because it's all by choice. And it's not by African Americans' choice. It is by the choice of the white power structure.
And it's as plain as the nose on their faces.
To admit that would be to admit failure. They can't. It is so fucking, it is so simple. It's like, well, it's so stupid because this is so dislodging.
In Georgia and Florida.
Okay, you're in control, right? You're like, yes, I'm in control. That's right. I'm in control. Well, then why do you still allow this?
Yeah, but see, and even if neither of them wins, in Georgia and Florida, Stacey Abrams and Andrew Gillum have pissed off the old white power base by their very presence on the ballot. Andrew Gillum wasn't supposed to win that primary, but he did.
No, he did. Stacey?
And so the fact that there's any challenge at all to the 153-year-old white supremacy power structure, and this among people, you know, if you walked up to Brian Kemp and said, "You're a fucking racist," he'd probably take
a
swing.
I'm sorry, but that draw, the way he talks, man.
He'd take a swing at you. I am not. I just don't want all of them to vote. That's all.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm glad you said that. And I'm not gonna say the guy's full name, but we all know this popular radio show, TH, right? Those are his initials. And for, like, man, and remember, we have to seek out credible, just middle-of-the-road radio. Because wherever you go, I mean, I remember I was a cord cutter way, way, way back. And even online right now, live streaming on YouTube, you can always get Fox News full screen, period. You can't get MSNBC like that.
No, hell no.
You can get Al Jazeera sometimes.
Back when we still had a clinic downtown, when I would go down there for cheap blood work Tuesday or whatever, or an appointment back when I had coverage, without fail, when I walked in the door, Fox News was on.
All the time.
And I'd say, look, you know, you got old people coming in here. Don't need the stress of that shit. Can't you put on the Weather Channel or something? QVC? Anything?
Anything. The Puppy Channel? See, but they're getting hit to that. Some of these people have been complaining because that's bullshit. And I'm trying not to.
But this is the same office where I sat down with a girl drawing my blood one day, and she said, "You know that Obama is a Muslim."
Oh God! Like that.
And I said, "Where in God's name did you hear that?" "My preacher said it."
he wants to give
rights to the queers.
Wait a minute. Damn it, Bobby. This show needs to be fucking 4 hours a night. Fuck that shit. Listen. First of all, these motherfuckers have lost their goddamn mind. This is not a fucking theocracy. Why are these motherfuckers stupid? Well, they are stupid. I don't understand it. This is not a fucking, this is not a Christian country. This is a country based on religious freedom. What the fuck?
I know. You know. We know.
I mean, it's fucking simple. And they swear to God they know what you're talking about. And they're fucking ignorant. How do you tell people they're fucking stupid? And I'm going to tell you, North Philly, let me tell you, if you want to, look, you got to put the SH, stupid. Ask Clarence. Stupid. That's it.
Yeah.
Stupid. Yo, he's stupid. I mean, for real, this is ridiculous, man. This is ridiculous. These people have, we have allowed these people to fucking act like they're normal, and they're not fucking normal. You know, we got abnormal psychology dictates that you have to address the issue.
I know.
Okay. So look. Now, this is a very, very complicated situation in terms of this election. There's a whole lot of shit going on in this cauldron of this vote. We have self-reported data, which we know is notorious. That's the weakest type of data you can provide. Any researcher can provide self-reported data. That's the weakest type. We have wives lying to their husbands about who they're going to vote for. Husbands lying to their wives about who they're going to vote for. Misinformation, disinformation. Then there's the skullduggery, the cheating. Because this shit with Kenneth, how in the hell? On the face of it, that's a case. I don't give a fuck. That's a fucking court case. If Stacey Abrams loses after the runoff, because see, I think it's a setup for the runoff.
Well, the runoff. Look, understand that runoff has there's nothing in Southern political structures that is not touched by issues of race.
Not a thing.
And if a policy that appears to be facially neutral winds up with racist results, then it's a racist policy. I mean, at least as far as I'm concerned. So, by the way, Les just sent a message, Todd. He says, bourbon's going in the freezer. Picking up a brisket tonight to try my hand at tomorrow with the milk crate full of cherry wood chunks I'm importing from New York. Wifey has a few bottles of wine and the day off tomorrow. We're ready for election night returns. It's like a replay of 16, except this time it'll be the Klan man pissed off, pounding the table while we grin like Cheshire cats. Well-fed, well-liquored up Cheshire cats. Gilliam and Abrams up, Klan clowns down. God, I hope so. God, I hope so.
That sounds beautiful.
Oh, by the way, and you're going to love this. The story of the young woman who scammed the Republicans. I just had a note from Vanessa. Hi, Bob. Okay. I'm sorry, but OMG. I don't know whether to be ashamed or wonder why I didn't think of that scam first. I can't even. Yeah, I know. You're kind of... Probably wasn't nice, but by the same token, remember the first commandment of W.C. Fields, and he only had three.
Mm-hmm.
You can't cheat an honest man.
Well, I will tell you what I found disturbing this morning. I forget what hour. Maybe it was the first hour of the morning Joe show. And, Joe told the truth. He was like, well, and it's like we had been probably thinking forever. You know, fascism, excuse me, fascism is easy. It's easy to be lockstep. You don't have to think and just do what you're told. You know, you're part of the board. And it's easy, it's authoritarianism, and, don't like the other, and you can go home and eat dinner, and that's it. Right? You don't have to think.
Yeah, fascism's easy. Keep your head down and hope they don't come for you.
Right, exactly. So, they sucked up into it. And just because it's not Hitler, they don't understand. You know, and we have to get slowly. You're finally hearing people in the for-profit media talking about the F word, fascism.
Mm-hmm.
But this shit has taken off already. And I mean... This is why we don't have a leader. And let me make this very fucking clear. The minute at Charlottesville, when you saw these motherfuckers out in the open talking about blood and soil, and the Jews will not replace us. I don't know. That's whatever. That's some ancillary shit off of blood and soil. That's what I'm more concerned about. Of course, I'm concerned about the anti-Semitic stuff because of course, this was about, but blood and soil. That should have been a 2-day stoppage of almost everything in this country. Say, hey, wait a minute. Somehow, our population doesn't understand world history. Why do we have this many people that feel comfortable talking about blood and soil in public? Because history shows us if this is continued, we're going to have some fucked up shit happen. And then here we come to last Saturday, or, you know, a couple of Saturdays ago. You know, it's too late. Fascism moves fast. We have a mentally ill fascist in control. You know, you know what a minstrel is, right? Remember the blackface minstrel?
Yeah, sure, right. Yeah.
All right, we have a minstrel in chief, and he's orange, and he's leaking his orange from wherever. You understand? This is some fucked up shit. And the fact that we have a stick, you don't even have to run the numbers. It's just, look, this shit is statistically significant. You understand? We have a fucking problem. And it is leaked into the military. And that's a fucking problem. And Pompeo, that ham-handed piece of shit, what the fuck is this? He has no, what gravitas does he have? He don't know shit about shit.
Yeah, but he graduated first in his class at West Point, so, you know.
I don't give a fuck if he graduated first in Dawson. No, seriously. He has no grades. We have no statesmen. Where are our statesmen? Who do we have that looks normal as a statesman? The UN laughed at us, and you hear these assholes call in a Washington Journal, and they say, I was so embarrassed when Obama was in, and now I'm so proud to be American because Donald Trump.
Yep.
What? What the fuck is that? Am I missing something? Talk to me, man. Am I missing something?
No,
I mean,
you're not. I mean, you're right there. You've got it. And
so,
but you know, what? Look, racism is racism is racism is racism. She, you know, those Washington Journal times. You know, I was so ashamed for America when Barack Obama was president, because he went on his American apology tour. They were ashamed of, you know, because black. That's all it ever was. That's all any of it was. But you mentioned Morning Joe. There was a fun little moment today.
Mm-hmm.
Because every now and then, Joe does a halfway decent job of trying to make us all forget all the free publicity that he and Mika gave to Donald Trump. Yeah. So apparently, and you know, at the time, you know, what, 1969, 1970, Joe was all of 6 years old, seven maybe. But he talks about these things, you know, and when I say something from back in, because we're the same age, him and me. Come from the same state.
Hey, wait a minute. Slow down, because you sound a classic now. This is it. This is what you're going to be remembered by this. So
Trump apparently called on bikers for Trump to beat the hell out of Antifa, and Joe wasn't having none of it. It was a beautiful little moment.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get the goddamn thing to play.
You've seen it, Antifa. They take the helmet off, and they take the armbands, and you see these little arms. And then they see the clubs in their hand. You know, they're tough guys, right? Where are the bikers for Trump? Where are the...
I got to say, it's kind of crazy. Just kind of crazy.
Yeah, President Trump yesterday...
I don't think it's helping either, because if you look at the polls that are coming out...
Wondering where the bikers for Trump are, mm-hmm. in response to armed dogs in the streets.
Like, what does that even mean?
He just loves to talk about things that are controversial
security.
And inciting
security. What is
violence.
You know? Did he not? did he not see what happened when Mick Jagger hired Hell's Angels at Altamont?
Yeah, I don't think he remembers that.
It doesn't end well.
But the entire theme,
you know,
of
back
campaign,
when Joe was
the
six.
Underlying theme, I think, I hear.
It's security. The immigration stuff, it's security. Yeah. Women are afraid. Security.
It's a very short step from that rhetoric to saying that I want some volunteer citizens to provide security at my rallies and to bring their weapons. And that puts us spiraling into a terrible direction.
Well, I mean, and the thing is, during the campaign, he was, again, talking about violence, talking about beating people up, talking about, hey, I'll pay for your lawyer. He just a couple weeks ago bragging about, you know, a congressman, talking about he loves a congressman that will throw a member of the press down. I just, you know, I am betting that's not.
Yeah, right. Altamont.
Yo, Bob.
I mean, yeah, you can
Negroes,
know him.
How many Negroes did Joe Scarborough have on his staff when he was in the Senate? I mean, in the House.
I do not know the answer to that question, but I would bet that if I bet a fin on it and said none, I'd probably win.
That's what I'm talking about. I didn't mean to cut you off, but by the way,
you got fan mail from Vanessa said to, yes, Todd, Trader Joe's talk, I'd listen, which would be redundant because I listen all the time anyway. But apparently, Brother Deacon Asa tells me there's no need for a Trader Joe's spinoff program. There's already a Trader Joe's podcast. But it wouldn't be us, you know? I mean, but so.
No.
Yeah. Altamont. Mm-hmm.
Altamont. Yeah, Altamont. Right. Like you said, that was in 68. That was, right? That's when
69. I was all busy being 5 or 6, so, you know.
You know, right. Right, when the Hells Angels were beating up the hippies. You know, come on. But, you know, he tries to be. That's his job. He has to.
Where are the bikers for Trump? Where are the bikers for Trump?
This is unbelievable. This is just so. And it's almost like I don't know, man. It's like I'm talking.
Well, like I said, just remember, by this time tomorrow night, we won't know a goddamn thing. So, that's my theme for tonight. By this time tomorrow night, we won't know a goddamn thing. Maybe tomorrow I'll do the sex robots show.
Maybe you told me already. Did you have the opportunity to early vote?
I had the opportunity, but I have to go all the way across the river to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And all I have to do is go, you know, a mile into town to vote on the regular day. And either way, I walk out saying I may or may not have voted because we vote on video games.
This is what I'm concerned about. That's what I'm saying. It's like, see, this is really, everyone sees things through their lens, right? I mean, it's just, unless you're an exceptional individual, it takes energy to see things away from your lens. And I know you want to go, but it's just that. It's difficult for human beings to get out of their comfort zone, and that's quite normal. But when you do get out of your comfort zone, it can be a good experience. It can be a bad experience. But it's an experience. It expands your mind. It's good to get. That's why I like to listen to Stormtrooper and David Duke. I listen to all these people. You know, they knew exactly what was
you
going
got it. Well, you've got it. You got to know what your enemy's up to.
You have to.
Yeah.
And to stay, you know, and I say this because, you know, this is so crucial now. See, the power structure is really, because Stacey Abrams, the more you hear of her, and a lot of these folks, but Stacey Abrams.
Oh, but, well, okay, so the new thing, the new conniption, Stacey Abrams. Stacey Abrams, oh my God, Stacey Abrams, this is just,
oh shit, what, what happened?
So there were
some fucked up.
Yeah, this is just, yeah. So somehow or another, there were photographs, and they were tweeted out by Brian Kemp and others, and they went all over White Wing media because, oh my God, Stacey Abrams. Let's see, what did Newt Gingrich say?
You just had Black Panthers in Atlanta, for example, carrying what looked like semi-automatic weapons for Stacey Abrams. You want a really radical America? You can get one, and she'd be, if she wins, she'll be the most radical governor in the country, with the possible exception of Gavin Newsom.
Oh, my God.
The new Black Panther Party is supporting Stacey Abrams. Stacey Abrams is in the new Black Panther Party, and they're coming for your mama.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God. I mean, he is Mr. Southern Strategy. Come on, man. What the fuck? Making shit. These people are shook. See, this is what I'm concerned about, though. What is gonna happen? Now, see, and then we got the weather. You know, the weather here, oh, my God. We had this torrential rain. And it's supposed to, tomorrow it's supposed to be awful. Which is, you know, the general knowledge is that when it rains, you know, it's lower turnout.
Right.
And no matter what, Republicans are going to show up when it rains, no matter what. And it dampens down the Democratic.
Yeah, it's going to, tomorrow here, it's going to be pouring when the polls open.
So this shit, oh, man, this.
But that website that rhymes with light and fart went wild. 71,000 engagements. The Daily Caller. Why
does she keep attacking Brian Kemp instead of talking about her new Black Panther Party problem?
See, it's that bullshit.
I want proof that the new Black Panther Party actually fucking exists.
You know what? Wait a minute. Let me say this. And you probably don't remember. Now, right before I moved, my precinct was right with one of those precincts where they swore that they were new Black Panther people with clubs keeping people away from the polls. Now, that was my precinct where I was voting. And there's nothing there but retired police, firemen, school teachers. I mean, real quiet, like on the edge of the city. Nice, quiet neighborhood. And they were just standing there. That's it. They were standing there.
Yeah.
And somebody took a picture, and it just took off. It was
Standing while black is enough to terrify white fox watching America.
What, and I'm glad, this is you get me off on these tangents. This is what I wanted to bring up. Listen, let me tell you what the artist fascist said yesterday. Now, he's bringing this shit up. Do you remember these fucking posters that we've seen, if you paid attention in fucking school, these cocaine-crazed Negroes chasing after white women in the 1870s, 1880s, you know, when cocaine was legal and shit, He is hearkening back on that shit, talking about these South Americans are coming up to get your women. I'm like, oh my God, he went there. This motherfucker he has no fucking bounds. See, when are we gonna understand this shit as a people? Are we as fucking collectively stupid? Stupid. What the fuck? This is an election on are we sane or are we fucking stupid?
How many times since, say, November 8th, 2016, have I referred, Todd, to the quadrennial American one question IQ test?
That's it. Look, we all love boneheads. Who doesn't like boneheads? But you know you got to get on that goddamn plane to go where the fuck you got to go.
I mean, for almost 2 years now, we've got about 30, 33, 35% of the population walking around saying, water, like from the toilet.
Guess what? That water that goes into the water closet, the closet part, guess what? You can drink out of that, bitch. Dumb motherfucker.
But hey, just for the fun of it, one more clip. One more clip. I guess it was, what, Cleveland? One of the Clavern rallies, one of the Trump Clavern rallies in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And he had Precious Ivanka with him.
And he's all pissed off and aggrieved. Because, you know, it's just one grievance after another. But this was good. This was pretty good. All I got to do is get it to play. Click.
Now, I don't know if they'll say this is nepotism, but the truth is she's a very, very... You're not allowed to use the word beautiful anymore when you talk about women. You're not allowed. No, no. It's politically incorrect. I know. It's politically... I will never call a woman beautiful again. And every man here, raise your hand. You will never, ever say your wife, your girlfriend, anybody is beautiful, right? I'm not allowed to say it. Because it's my daughter, Ivanka, but she's really smart. And she's here. Should I bring her up?
He's not allowed to call Ivanka beautiful anymore. Isn't it sad?
Terribly sad.
Yeah, you know, he can't. You know, when he crawls his sweaty, giggling, adipose ass off of some sex worker, he's no longer allowed to say, "You were great. You remind me of my daughter." Jesus Christ. So, Todd, I got to ask you, Thanksgiving's coming. Is the turkey going on the smoker, or are you doing it conventional?
You know, I'm not sure yet. I'm thinking about spatchcocking. Are you familiar with the spatchcock?
I've heard the word. I'm not sure I know what it is.
Well, you cut it in half, and basically... Breathe.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it's like a butterfly.
Correct. Yep. In a large roasting pan, you know, I have all the cast iron stuff to do it correctly. You know, it depends on who's going to show up or if we're going to. We'll have to see. We got all these variables right here. You know, kids, old people. Like this is a nice quiet time right now. You know, but. We had to see, and you can't please everybody, you know, everyone, you know, it's hard, man, for black folk, you know, black folk like tradition stuff, especially middle-class black folk, you know, they just want, you know, like live to beaver type shit, you know, so it's hard to get people to move beyond and do different shit. And I'm just being honest, and I could make up some shit, and, you know, but I told you, I don't lie. I don't have to fucking lie. My life is too interesting. I don't have to fucking lie.
Right.
But yeah, you know, I know. We food is good. That's what brings us together. And it's really a shame. I don't understand. And the reason I brought up Trader Joe's earlier is that the last thing I said to the checkout guy, I was like, oh, don't forget to vote. And he cringed. This dude cringed. I was like, I could feel it. I could feel like something.
Why?
You know, I'm very sensitive. Why? That's what I was like. Why the fuck are you working here? Because honestly, Trader Joe's here is a bastion. I mean, you know it. I mean, you can feel it. It's like usually it's a happy place. It's a happy, happy, quote unquote, liberal. I don't even know. Some of these people might want to eat well. They're not. Would people like to eat well? But usually. It's a happy place. It's a very democratic, happy place. And you can see by the people they hire, they have these women with the wild, you know, like punk-looking women with the wild hair and transgender folks. And it's great. You know what I'm saying? It's like everybody's welcome. But this whole odyssey is disgusting. This has been a trip into insanity, and I hope this election. I hope we had this. This is just what's so close. This is the biggest thing. I don't know, man. I feel like this is the biggest thing that's happened, like politically in my lifetime. Almost.
It's the most important midterm election that's ever happened in my life.
Wow! Wait a minute. Say that again.
It's the most important midterm election that's ever happened in my life. I mean, 2010, it was awful. I remember the midterm of 1994, and that was terrible. But this has the outcome tomorrow has existential ramifications. And I'm not trying to scare anybody or anything like that, but I'm kind of in the same space where Steve from Georgistan is. If we don't take at least one house tomorrow, and if these goddamn Republicans are able to run roughshod for another 2 years, we've got problems we cannot begin to fathom. Because an unchecked Congress will go after Medicare, will go after Medicaid, will go after Social Security. And, you know, they'll do the same old trick. They're not going to do anything to people who are currently receiving. It's my generation and the generations below us, behind us, not below, but behind, who are going to take the fucking. And there will be no fix to health care. And the goddamn deficit will just balloon and balloon and balloon. And maybe there is some sort of godforsaken crash coming.
Oh, no, the crash is coming. This is artificial. We had to talk.
And
this
he
night.
Won't. And you know, because even if it's just the House, the ability to subpoena, the ability to investigate, the ability to demand documents and witnesses, the ability to check some of the unbridled exercise of power that is presently in the hands of a fucking madman makes all the difference in the world.
Look. If we didn't learn anything, all right. Let me calm down. I don't want to sound like that asshole that I often sound like. Let me calm down. But I remember as a young man, and see, remember, and I'm gonna go back to Ed Rendell and Mumia. Remember, see, Mumia. Allow me to talk about Newt. I don't want to get off on the tangent, and I'm going to get off the phone, but let me start with Mumia. See, when you brought up Ed Mandel, that's what made me call, because he was the mayor, then he was the prosecutor, then he was the governor. And, I mean, I I lived in the same neighborhood with him. I shook his hand. I've seen him out in political, you know, things and like, galleries, he's a cool guy. He's approachable. And he lives in a regular house with his wife, Miz, who's a judge. But, you see, Mumia got a lot of young black people interested in news because he would ride around with a scanner. And he would be on, this is when Rizzo was mayor. And Rizzo hated, this is when the Black Panthers were there. And Rizzo hated, black folks sticking up for themselves. And he couldn't stand it. And Mumia would be on the scene, and he would tell the news like what he was seeing, and it would be a lot of times totally different than what you would see on like Action News Channel 6, which is that's the big channel, Channel 6 Action News.
Team Action News coverage, eyewitness. Yeah,
that Action News was the shit. Jessica Savage, man, she was nationally anyway. So yeah. So, and that's what got him in trouble, Mumia in trouble, because he was thrown in the side of the authority. And he was an ex-Black Panther. See, that's why he's in fucking prison, because he was a Black Panther. That's what that came down to. He used to be a Black Panther. And he was like, okay, I'm going to work against the system. I'm going to, report the news, what I see. They can't, and it's like, this is America. What can they do? It's before cell phones and all that shit. Then something happened down at 13th and Locust. His bus got shot. He was driving the cab. And, all hell broke loose. So fast forward to what? I asked you to put a pin in the chart. And what was that pin? And we're fast forwarding to we're talking about news and the way things transpire. And do you remember the pin that I asked you to put down? In the
bed? Oh, Jesus. Oh, God.
Because, I get off on tangents.
No, I know. But that's the way it works.
I know.
Okay.
But I am gonna create a little space here in case anybody else does want to jump
sure,
in.
Todd.
It's been a fantastic conversation, my friend. And I don't know. I just saw some pictures of a spatchcocked turkey, and it looks pretty damn tasty. But Albert just wrote to ask, have you ever deep fried a turkey? Albert says it's wonderful. I know it is, but I'm forbidden because I'll burn the house down or something. Brother Deacon Ace has been trying to get me to do it, and it's too frightening.
No, man, you should do it. It's delicious. But if you do it wrong, it'll blow up. But you got to do it right, you know. But it's delicious. It's not greasy at all. It cooks gas. Oh my God, it's beautiful.
Yeah,
you haven't done that?
No, I haven't, because I'm an English major, okay? I would hurt myself. I mean, I have to put on a Michelin man suit just to handle a knife, okay? I mean, it's... Yeah.
Well, oh, my God. Well, look, man, I talked to Tracy the other day, and she said that she was coming over and she was going to eat up all your ribs.
Just might happen. Just might happen.
I'll see you later.
All right, Todd. Take care, man. Happy voting tomorrow.
Man, you know what? Oh. What the fuck, man? I know what. Wait, before we go. Right. So, right. Who are we going to be? Who are we going to be as a country? This is like a Civil War election. This is like if we were in 1864.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when you said that, I was like, wow, I don't feel alone. This is a serious doo-doo, man. We joke around a lot, you know, but that's why I couldn't do my Jesse Lee right. I mean, this is serious.
This is a chance. I mean, if you're steeped in history and you, especially the ancient stuff, this is an off ramp from a place that we don't want to be going. There's a chance to pump the brakes and get off this highway to hell. And does it, you know, do we or don't we? You know, there's really no knowing. Brother Deacon Asa said a minute ago, he said, here's my ray of fucking sunshine moment for you for today. I tend to think that tomorrow's results are more likely to be disappointing for us than they will be for the maggot class. See, with all the rage that Chlamydia Claudius has whipped up in everyone for the last 2 years, the difference in the polls has to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 10-plus points in favor of Democrats. But it really isn't. Most races are pretty well neck and neck. That tells a Brother Deacon that folks are not as enraged by the orange monster as our little island likes to think they are. And that means tomorrow's outcome will likely be rather grim. I say keep that bottle handy. It's going to be a rough ride.
Well, that's exactly what we've been talking about. See, we cannot be, because you cannot capture, the polling can't capture waiting in line for 2 hours. 3 hours, 4 hours in the rain. Or saying, wow, if I go out in the rain, I'm going to get a cold and I'm feeling well, I got to pick my babies up from daycare. You know, there's a lot of intangibles. And it's easy. It's easier for the Republicans to vote. And I'm going to get off. I'm going to get off in 38 seconds.
That's okay. I know what you're saying and I agree with it. It's like I was talking to Boss Man Wayne the other day. And Boss Man Wayne says, oh yeah, I asked him if he early voted. He said, "Oh yeah, I early voted on the day that the first day of it." He said, "Because I am 74 years old and I have had 4 heart attacks and I may not make it to Tuesday."
Oh shit!
I want my vote counted in this thing.
You know what? He probably had a big smile on his face too. That's beautiful. That's right. Get in, man. This is some deep doo-doo. Where is some deep doo-doo? These folks, and this is why we see the Republicans decades ago, they understood the importance of having state legislatures and state governorships. But the state legislatures, more importantly.
Yeah.
And see, and now we have to compete with the Koch brothers have learned, they're infiltrating academia now. They're not, in other words, they give you money, but with strength. You can't teach this class.
You can't do that. You can't do this. You know, and we know people aren't getting tenure no more. And I'm sorry, man. All right. So I'm going to be listening. And I really, everyone loves your show, man. And you know, you do a lot of good for a lot of people.
Thank you, man. Thank you very kindly. That's really good. That's really nice of you to say. It's the community that makes it all happen, though. I mean, for real.
Okay. I see you.
All right. Take it easy, Todd. We'll talk soon.
All right.
All right. Later. Bye now. It's our buddy Todd over on the stress line. I need to send out a thank you. Thank you very kindly to Catherine. Catherine jumped in on fundraising. You know, we had $200 to raise. Well, now we have $135. Catherine said, $65 donation because today is my 65th birthday. I made it to Medicare. Congratulations, Catherine. Many happy returns. Happy birthday, and thanks so much for that. It's a huge help when we don't goose egg any given day. So, hey, $135 to raise. It would be really helpful if we could knock out that $135 in the next 30 minutes or so, or some portion thereof. It would be helpful indeed. Thank you again and again. Happy birthday, Catherine. Thank you very, very much. Let's see. Let's go over and check in on the other phone line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, Charlie, what's happening?
Well, I voted a week ago. I voted early voting. And I voted for Bredesen. And, you know, I think, you know, what we need to do, and this has been my feeling all along, people keep putting these... The American public keeps putting these people in office that, you know, they're crazy. And Trump's a prime example. I mean, there is something. All you have to do is listen to Trump for 10 minutes. And the man has severe mental problems. I mean, it's just, I don't know whether he's a narcissist or whether a sociopath. I don't know. But all this is going to come home to roost someday. The government is eventually going to run out of money. And a lot of us people that have made ends meet and live paycheck to paycheck are going to have a whole lot easier times than the ones who fall off the clouds. And really, I mean, we just need to let these people fall. And whenever they come and ask us for help, just tell them no. Just say, no, you're the one that put this in. You're the one that started all this. You're the one that put all these wheels in motion. So, you know, we really don't want to have anything to do with you. And just leave it at that, because it's coming to an end. The markets are going down right now, and you know, you can see things slowing down. Lowe's is getting ready to close a whole bunch of stores.
Yeah, Kelly sent me that story a little earlier. That's, yeah. Because the housing boom is, coming, it's slowing.
Yeah. And you can see that things are getting ready to crash. And when people have, you know, they've lived their lives, and, you know, they live the type of life where they've never had to go to a supermarket to buy food because they have servants that do that. And all of a sudden they can't afford the servants anymore. We just need not to have anything to do with them. Just tell them, say, tough. You're going to have to learn just like to live just like you made us live. And, you know, and there's nothing illegal about that. If Donald Trump wants to come up and shake your hand and you just look at him, say, no, sir, I'd prefer you not touch me, and turn around and walk off, there's nothing illegal about that. And that's basically, I mean, we just need to become assholes to the people that have put all these wheels in motion. And, you know, just because, like I say, the whole thing is getting ready to, I don't know whether it'll be a year or two or when, but it's getting ready to come tumbling down.
Well, there's a whole bunch of, I mean, I'm so old, Charlie. I remember when Republicans and teabaggers were shrieking about the Obama deficit. Oh, he's giving us a $1 trillion deficit. Oh, Jesus. Remember that?
Yep.
Now it's real. And suddenly those same people don't care because I guess it's a white guy deficit. I don't know. I don't know.
It doesn't matter. I mean, the color of the deficit's green. You don't worry about anything else. So, and you know, it's going to, it's, I can just see it coming. And there's people there are actually people out there that feel like because they have got white skin on their bones, that they're better than the people with black skin on their bones. And I have a feeling they're getting ready to come to a rude awakening whenever the whole thing crashes, that everybody's the same. And, you know, and it's going to be something to watch.
Well, that's absolutely the truth.
And, you know, it's like my mother used to tell me back during the Great Depression. She said everybody got in the same bread line. So,
you know, you remind what you were saying about, you know, people, you know, at some point in the future saying, you know, do this, help me, whatever. It reminded me of that line from, what is it? Matthew chapter 7. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Well, I guess, you know, I was brought up in a, I won't say an overly religious home, but I was brought up in a home with, you know, that people practice Christianity. And the way I was always taught is when Adam and Eve were created, that they had all the necessary genetics in them to create all the races of the earth. And that everybody's the same.
Well, yeah, I mean,
any better than anybody else.
Exactly. And the fact of the matter is, I mean, we know scientifically, I mean, there's not even any debate about it. It's not like, and it proves the essential fallacy of racism. Every human being on this planet started out from genetic ancestors of dark skin. Hell, mm-hmm. Europeans weren't even white till about 7,000 years ago.
Yeah, you can have genes, you know, that you can have genetic defects where you drop genes, but you can't create genes. So that would tend to reason that, you know, people were darker back then. And, you know, what I firmly believe is that people wandered into different areas of the world and just real minor subtle changes happened to them that made it easier for them to survive in the parts of the earth that they wandered into.
Yeah, evolution is neutral. Evolution is based on, and this is real, and I'll probably stand to be corrected, but there's no good or bad evolution. It is merely survivability based on mutational change.
Right.
And so the change, you know, what Darwin observed is that the changes that happened that made survival more likely were the changes that were passed down through the generations. You know, the most important thing to note being individuals do not evolve, populations do. And,
yeah.
You know, so consequently, when humanity left Africa
humanity evolved in different areas for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, but there is no such, you know, there's no such thing as race. Every lily white Klansman who talks about, you know, like the identity of Europa freaks and so forth, who said, you know, you will not replace us, you know, what they chanted in Charlottesville. Well, the fact of the matter is, those white folks do not come from some line that's always been white.
Yeah.
You can find genetic markers among people who are as British can be and as pale and pasty and white as you could. And lo and behold, you can find genetic markers in them from Syria and what we know as Lebanon, Palestine. And, you know, those are people who came to Britain 2,000-3,000 years ago.
And, you know, Bob, I know of people that, couples that are not of the same race, and they've married, and they've had children and raised their children, and they're happy together. They're happy with each other. And, you know, I just cannot understand how somebody like a Klansman could break something like that up and feel good about it. That would worry me until I hit the grave if I'd try to break up something like that.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know. I see the way things are going right now, and as you know, I was born with cerebral palsy. I limp whenever I walk. It's not quite as bad as somebody of a different, as these people going after somebody of a different race, but they will come after you too. They will come after a person with a physical handicap too. And,
I mean, that was part of the program, you know, back 80 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. You sterilized people so they couldn't reproduce. I don't know. It's, people have just went wild with Trump. I mean, you know, they have literally gone wild. They just don't have any respect for anybody. You know, and I can drive around town here, and I still see these trucks, these old beat-up pickup trucks with a Confederate battle flag on the back of them. And there is nothing that looks any more trashy than that. And why they want to keep doing it, I don't know. But they do.
Because they have sad, shitty little lives, I guess.
I don't know. That is one of the trashiest looking things that I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah. It is. It is.
So, well, I'll get off here and let you go to somebody else, and it's been a pleasure talking to you.
All right, Charlie, you take it easy. We'll talk soon, all right?
Okay, bye.
All right. Later now. That's our buddy Charlie calling from Tennessee. With the subject line, vote with your eyes open, Paul writes in to say, I voted early in Florida and wanted to remind everyone not to forget. If you wear reading glasses, be sure to bring them with you. It's a strain without them. Yeah, especially if you're dealing with anything like, you know, whenever Republicans put constitutional amendments or things like that on the ballot, they always write them as convolutedly as possible so as to tilt in favor of adoption of whatever it is they want adopted. So read those constitutional amendments very carefully. And if a Republican legislature has proposed them, odds are they're not going to be any good for you, for us, or for anybody else, without a doubt. Meanwhile, Silent R. Lamar says, time me the fuck out. I live on the West Coast, California. Yeah, I want a wall on my east border from Arizona to Washington State. I'm fed up with white bullshit from some white dumbass people. I was going to call in, but not tonight. Too mad. It would be bad radio. Thanks, Lamar. Let's see. What else? Oh, we didn't get to it in any sort of depth on Friday, but by the way, we have another horror to deal with. On Friday, a man named Scott Byerly walked into a yoga studio in Tallahassee and murdered two women. And then shot himself. Well, so let's see. We've got Jews being murdered, people of color being murdered, women being murdered, and I'm sure I've left something out. Or someone out. But it turns out the guy who did the killing, identified as an incel, involuntary celibates. He had hissies online about white women dating black men. And now the incel movement of homicidal misogynists are turning him into a martyr, referring to him online as a legend and saying what a shame it was that he only killed two women. This guy had, among other things, openly praised Elliot Rodger, who has become an incel hero for his slaughter rampage in 2014. And now they're sharing his YouTube videos around these so-called incels. Chillingly, though, among other things, the incels are saying there's no way to stop these murderous, murderous rages. Jesus. And Tallahassee. Yeah, that's probably not an accident either. That's where Andrew Gillum is mayor. Yeah. As Arthur points out, wow, he's a legend among losers and asshats. Well, it's not just losers and asshats. It's losers and asshats with guns. You know, just be aware of your surroundings. Seriously, be aware. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but pay attention to your world. Because it is, I mean, look at it. Synagogue. Baby naming ceremony. Just going to Kroger's. Going to yoga. Jesus. And then this one. This is just sickening.
there was an outbreak of freedom. In Arizona Saturday. There are a lot of grandparents raising a lot of grandchildren in this country for a variety of reasons. And in Litchfield Park, Arizona, a grandmother and grandfather were raising their 11-year-old grandson. And so over the course of the day on Saturday, several times, grandma and grandpa said, "Hey, go clean your room. And they said it to him several times. Well, a little bit after 5 o'clock, the 11-year-old boy slipped up behind his grandmother, Yvonne Woodard, and put a gun to the back of her head and killed her. Grandfather, Doyle Hebert, ran after him, but then he turned around and tried to get back to help his wife, 65 years old. And as he ran to his wife, he heard the gun go off again, and the little boy had killed himself. There were apparently no warning signs whatsoever. The child was not giving off any indication that there was that kind of trouble in the offing. He just went and got Grandpa's gun and killed Grandma. Because it was Grandpa's gun. And I guess the 11-year-old knew where Grandpa kept his gun. And Grandpa apparently kept his gun loaded. Nothing in here about what kind of gun it was. A neighbor, Walter Venerable, said, "Nice family. I knew the kid. I mean, he'd ride his bicycle around, play around the neighborhood." It's another win for the National Ruble Association, I guess. Who, by the way, have declared from the Department of Oh My God that... where is it now? Oh, there it is. The filthy, disgusting, overtly racist ad being run by Donald Trump, which both Fox and CNN have refused to add. They won't play it. Well, old Greg Stinkfield from NRA TV has declared that there's nothing racist about it, even though the entire thing makes the Willie Horton ad of years gone by it look like nothing. Yeah, nothing racist. On the other hand, over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, there's Jesse Waters, who used to go around doing
Bill O'Reilly's stalker work for him and has decided that Jesse Waters has decided that the Democratic Party is anti-white. You know, when you're using phrases like anti-white in a nation in which the vast majority of the power is concentrated in white hands, that's another one of those moments where it's not a dog whistle anymore. Dog whistles are silent and only dogs can hear them. This is a bullhorn. Just like the right-wing business I was talking with Todd about, of Bruga Bruga, New Black Panther Party, Stacey Abrams, Bruga Bruga, MAGA, Bruga Bruga. Anti-white. And Jesse Waters says that white working class voters are turned off by pointing out things like the border wall having a racist component to it. Yeah, 5 minutes before the hour. Tomorrow we'll have a $335 fundraising goal. Hopefully we'll make it. And if it's going to rain where you are and you're going out to vote and you haven't already voted, use your best rain gear, but don't be turned away and don't be put off. They've done everything in their power, the Republicans have, to make it damn near impossible to vote. Don't let them make it impossible. Okay? I'm eager. We'll get out of here. We got some other things to do tomorrow, but we'll go and vote. Hope for the best. We've got a constitutional amendment on the ballot here in West Virginia tomorrow. The Republicans want to shit on poor women. And I'm sad to say it'll probably pass. There was a West Virginia Supreme Court opinion a few years back that made it clear that you could not discriminate against poor women by refusing Medicaid monies to pay for reproductive health care, abortions. So the Republicans have gotten their fetus fetish on, and they've crafted an amendment that says nothing about rape, nothing about incest, nothing about health of the mother, just says that Medicaid monies cannot be used to pay for an abortion. In other words, poor women. Thereby, depriving poor women of the equal protection of the law. Because abortion, although difficult to get, is legal in West Virginia. And so if you're economically able to scrounge the money to get one, you can have one. But poor women with Medicaid coverage can't. I'll be voting no on that. Agnes will be voting no on that. But, well, the way this state is, well, like I said at the beginning of the program, I don't get a lot of opportunities to vote my conscience, but this is one of them. So let's get together tomorrow evening. See what we can find out. See what we can figure out. It'll be Titanic Tuesday anyway, and we'll have plenty to work with. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thanks very, very kindly this evening to Catherine, and happy birthday again. Thank you to our subscribers. Thank you very kindly to all of you who share your precious finite time engaged in this little conversation. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thanks, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men of, and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.